The following is recorded November 3rd, 2019 at St. Matthew Church in Linville, Indiana. For more information, visit us on the web at www.stmatthewlinville.com.
Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks and praise again. We always want to enter your courts with thanksgiving in our heart. And praise in our heart as well, Lord. Let your praises be on our lips night and day. Lord, forgive us for the times that we get frustrated and we run low in patience and endurance. And sometimes, Lord, we don't see the point. And we just struggle. And we dig our heels in. And we get, complacent in our Christianity. We're not digging. We're not digging further. We're not growing. And we point fingers, and we blame others. Lord, when it's our own decisions, Lord, to run as Jonah did. He ran from your presence, and sometimes we do that. And Lord, I pray that we would reverse that right now in this moment, and that we would gather together around your word, Lord. Not the person that's bringing your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to forget about myself and magnify the Lord and worship you, Lord, in this teaching. And I pray that everybody else would be able to do the same thing. Lord, I pray that you would meet us here in a very special way today, God, and relieve the anxious hearts and spirits and minds that we all have. And as you are called many times throughout the scriptures, the Prince of Peace, we know that you own it. Peace comes from a relationship with you and being in proximity with you. And so we ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would move in close to our church here in this corner of Linville, Indiana, and fill this place and reveal yourself in a special way today, Lord, that brings all of us encouragement and courage and comfort. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting, recovering from whatever, dealing with whatever, broken bodies, broken spirits, broken dreams, broken relationships. God, I pray that you would be the one who restores their heart, the lifter of their head. Lord, we need you. We continue to ask for your leadership and your guidance for Christmas Eve. And pray, Lord, that if somebody's on the fence wondering if, you know, they want to actually get up and sing or read some poetry that they've written or whatever the case may be, God, that you would allow them to take that first step into the Jordan, and Lord, that you would separate a clear path for them, Lord, to set their foot. Oh, we love you so much. And again, we pray that this time would be yours. So bless us in our pursuit of you in the Word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, I apologize. No PowerPoint today. I say PowerPoint, but really it's Google Slides, right? Some of you techie people know the difference, right? It's been PowerPoint for years. PowerPoint, right? Those of us who think we're doing okay, we call it PowerPoint still. But it's really a Google Slides presentation. And probably there's a newer option that I'm not aware of that, whatever. It's a visual. No visuals today, okay? We don't have internet at the house at this point, and so it is not prepared for you. So hopefully I can teach clearly enough to where you can create your own outline and jot down your own notes. And if you don't feel like you can keep up and take notes and listen, then maybe your wife will, and then you can look at her notes later. Okay? All right? So it all works out. Okay? And I tell you what, this internet thing, whew, it's a luxury that's become a necessity in our modern world, right? What would we do? What would we do without the internet anymore, right? The internet's new, man. Humanity has thrived for thousands of years without the intranet, right? But in our modern world, man, it has become kind of like the car was. right? Now everybody's got a car. How would we function without a car? It's a luxury that's become a necessity. And the internet is that way. And I tell you what, my kids, they don't know life without the internet. We told them the other day that, you know, AT&T's coming or whatever. Is it AT&T? Okay. AT&T's coming. We're going to get internet on Tuesday. And you should have seen the happy dances that were going on all over the house, man. I'm going to play this game. You're going to play that game. I'm going to play this all over, man. They're like, how in the world did we make it for 9 days living here without internet? There's my little soapbox. Okay. The internet. A luxury that's become a necessity. Well, we have the opportunity today to get into God's Word, which is absolutely a luxury and a necessity, right? It is a necessity, guys. If you're not in the Word, don't you realize how different you feel? Do you feel different after Sunday morning when you've been washed in the Word, like you just sat under a teaching or whatever, and sometimes, man, I leave and think, well, I don't know if they got it. I don't know if they really, you know, understand or whatever. And I told Kara this morning, I look at her notes and I think, man, that must have been a pretty good sermon. And then I realized I was the one that taught it. You know? And so the notes, it's the Word, guys. It's the Word that does the work. It's the Word that does the work. And so if you have references and you're writing down the Scriptures as you go, right? It's the Word that's going to cleanse your heart. Anybody can get up here. Guys, God could use a donkey, and He has. Right? Why are you hitting me? You remember? Balaam and Balak and all that stuff. God could use a donkey. Why are you hitting me, man? Right? God's Spirit can come upon a donkey and use a donkey. He does every week here at St. Matthew. Right? Okay, so we are going to get into Word. And man, I'm excited about Hebrews chapter 3. I hope that you've enjoyed our journey so far through the book of Hebrews. To me, it's been fantastic. It's been challenging to teach. There's a lot of deep things in Hebrews, and it's going to get even deeper. So hopefully you keep your shovels, and we just keep digging together, okay? But let's work through this together, and when we get to chapters 9 and 10, there's going to be some really confusing things. Honestly, I don't know how at this point that I'm going to approach them, but we'll do the best that we can. Last week, what we did was we went through 14 through 18 in chapter 2. So let me read that just to remind ourselves. Actually, we went through 10 through 18. Okay, that's a lot, isn't it? We covered a lot of ground last week. So here it is. It was fitting for him. Fitting for who? When you see it capitalized, we're talking about Jesus Christ. It was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And we talked about how in the world does Jesus become even more perfect, right? That was the whole sermon last week, right? Because Jesus was perfect before he came, yes? But here it implies that he became perfect. So how does that happen, right? It wasn't because he lacked something, right? And needed to become more perfect. It wasn't because he lacked something. It was because what? We lacked something. And he became what we needed, right? So in that sense, because he was perfect, he was able to become more perfect because he filled what we needed. Does that make sense? We needed salvation and we couldn't do it ourselves. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them what? Brothers or brethren. And if we are brethren, then we are what? Sons and daughters of God. And guys, that's huge, right? That is the crux of the sermon today. Are you a son or a daughter of God? It's an important question. It's a vital question to your eternal security, to your eternal salvation, because God does not have what? Grandchildren. You love your grandkids, right? I know you do. God doesn't have any, though. That doesn't mean he's lacking, right? Or that he, oh man, I wish I had some grandkids. He just doesn't have them. We are either sons and daughters of God, or we are not. Are you with me? You cannot ride into heaven because your parents were great believers and great men and women of God. You can't. You have to make your own choice. God doesn't have grandkids, okay? Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers, saying, I'll declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I'll sing praise to you. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. Did he say grandkids? Here I am with the grandkids, right? Bringing the grandkids home, you know, to visit, Pop. No. Co-heirs with Jesus, the scriptures call us. Right? That's fantastic news, guys. We are co-heirs with Christ. It's not that we're on the same plane. We will never be on the same plane. But he came and experienced our level so that he could call us brothers. We don't come up to him. He comes down to us. It's what the Christmas story is all about, right? God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. What's the word that we call him for that? Emmanuel. God with us. O come, Emmanuel. We sing it every year. O come, God be with us. And he did in the person of Jesus Christ. Inasmuch as the children have partaken in flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, and that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels. He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to help them. We've talked about how good they are in purity, in offering themselves, in obedience, in what? And in reverence. He doesn't need to help them. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and make, oh boy, here's a big word for Christian theology and Christian doctrine. It's super important. Propitiation. Who can come up here and give me a lecture on propitiation? Tell me what it means. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Anybody? Come on, Rach. Come on. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Greg? Thank you. Thank you. That's my generation right there. That's a good one. That's a dandy, right? That's a dandy. Propitiation. We're going to talk about that in just a second because that is the reason why we can be called sons and daughters of God. Very important in Christian doctrine. If you don't know what that means, get familiar with it, okay? Especially in this book of Hebrews where it talks about Jesus becoming our great high priest, right? Propitiation is important for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. Been tempted this week? Did you find some help? Jesus can't wait to help you in your time of temptation. And he can. Why? Because he's the captain. Right? He's the captain. What's the captain's responsibility? To get you to your destination. Right? And we went on that cruise. Sorry, I just had a flashback, man. I got lost in my own thoughts, right? It was beautiful. It was amazing. I didn't worry about getting to where we were going. That's the captain's job. Right? And Jesus is the captain of our salvation, right? Are we trusting him with all of our heart and leaning not on our own understanding? Well, if I do this, this, and this, and this, and this, then I'll be saved. Or are you trusting in him to be the captain of your salvation? There's a reason why he can be your captain. And that was our sermon last week. I'm stealing my wife's notes, right? From my own sermon. Hopefully you took some good ones, right? C stood for criticized, right? Ever been criticized? Unjustly or justly, right? Constructively or deconstructively, right? Wondering what's the goal in your criticism? Like this, or man, you're right about that. Like I do need to, you know, make those changes. Okay? Jesus understood what it meant to be criticized. And so he became, right, that merciful and empathetic is really what the word is. He understands what it is to be criticized, and therefore he can help us in when we're dealing with people's criticism. Yes? Is this thing off? Yes? He can help us through that. He can help us with that. He can help us not to take ourselves too seriously, right, and get too down when people don't agree with everything that we say. Right? Because it's not about us anyway, guys. Right? It's about Jesus Christ. He knows what it's like to be alone. CA. Right? Ever been alone? Ever been by yourself? Ever been, you know, the only person on the boat? Right? And you're thinking, man, am I the weird one? We ask that all the time in our house. Are we the weird ones? Because it seems like all these other things, like, what is going on in this world? Are we the weird ones? Or, are they normal and we're not? And so, alone. Jesus knows what it's like to be alone, all by yourself, right? Fighting your temptation all by yourself. Guys, can you not pray with me for an hour? Come on, guys. He knew what it was like to be alone by choice and by necessity, okay? By choice and by necessity. He knew the importance of being alone with God. Guys, do you have an experiential knowledge every day, every week, right? I come to the garden alone, says that old hymn, right? While the dew is still, what? Help me. On the roses, right? I'm going to come alone, right? And be with Christ. Jesus knew by choice, man, I'm dependent upon that one-on-one time with God. Don't you feel it? Right? Don't you feel it? When you are with God, and then when you go several days without some intentional prayer time by yourself, you get away from your prayer closet? Yes? I hope that you feel it. Jesus knew the importance of that by choice, but also by necessity. There were things that only he could do that his friends couldn't help him do. He alone had to bear the cross, right? And scorn the shame. Pressure. He knew what pressure was like. He knew what it was like to shed tears. We're at CAPT now. He knew what pressure was like from without and from within. He knew what it was like to shed tears from a broken heart or broken relationships or just being broken in general, right? He wept over the city the last time that he would ride in. The last time he was to see that beloved city in his flesh, right? It was supposed to be a joyful time, right? Everybody should be rejoicing that, hey, our sins are going to be dealt with once and for all instead of this Passover thing that we do every single year. Blood, 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 lamb, 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 lamb. Hundreds of thousands of lambs throughout history would be slaughtered so that sins would be atoned for. They should have been rejoicing that it was going to be over with and dealt with, that Jesus, God in the flesh, would take their sins once and for all. And they could have a relationship with God led by the Holy Spirit, who would be free to move about humanity in just a few days, right? But they missed the time of their visitation. They're saying, save now! They're not saying, save us from our sin. They're saying, save us from Rome. Set us up as the world power. We want to be strong. We want to put Rome in their place. And he's weeping over the city because he knows what's about to take place and that people will reject him. Right? And they're still doing it today. Tears for broken relationships, right? He wept at Lazarus' gravesite because he felt the anguish of Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. He identified with their pain. He knew what it was like to lose somebody. Man, he cried too with John the Baptist's loss. He got alone. He got in a boat and took off and just started sailing around by himself. Man, he had to get away from people when John was killed. Ah, man, I need some time away. He was grieving and he was mourning. And when he parked the boat and came up over the little hill, there were tons of people there waiting on him. Right? And it was the last thing really probably physically that he wanted to do at that point. He probably wanted to be alone and grieve. But he saw the people hurting and he had compassion on them and he healed them all. Every one of them. Bring them all to me. I'm hurting. But that's not going to stop me from taking other people's hurt. Right? Are you hurting today? Are you sulking in it? Or are you being proactive in being with people who are also hurting and taking their pain away? Because that is taking on the nature and the character of Christ. Right? What's the law of Christ? We learned in Galatians. What is it? Carry each other's burdens, and thus you will fulfill the law of Christ. Man, we always talk about the law of Moses. There's a law of Christ too. And that's being there for each other. And it's lightening the load for each other, right? It's not necessarily dumping on people, but it's sharing, right? Right before that, the scripture tells us, carry your own load. And also carry the load of other people, right? Oh, man, we need each other, guys. We need each other. And finally, that, what was the last N? Do you remember what it was? I'll give you bonus points.
Neglected.
It was neglect. Neglect. And Jesus knew what it was like to be neglected. Right? Tell me he didn't have needs. He was a man and he was tempted in every way as we are. He had needs. He wanted to belong. He wanted to have friends. He wanted to be called upon. He wanted to depend on people, right? He wanted to trust others. He wanted fellowship, right? And this is why all of these things, man, make him a perfect Savior. Guys, he's perfect in every way. Not only is he complete in and of himself, but he has completed every area in which we lack. Guys, I don't know, this year has been kind of, I don't know, it's been a rough year, man. There's been death all over the place, man. Lost my buddy who was really instrumental over the summer. He was murdered. Last week, I find out that my roommate in Bible college perished in a barn fire, right? With two of his five children. Two children, guys. He was 35 years old. He was my roommate in Bible college. Super guy. On fire for the Lord, man. I mean, he would go to, I mean, when we were younger, we would go to clubs and stuff, you know, and he would stand in line in Nashville and witness to people. Going into the club to dance. He'd be like, hey man, if you were to die tonight, you know if you're going to heaven or hell? It's complete strangers. He didn't care. And people would threaten to hit him. And he was like, he would just brace himself for it. He's like, man, I'm ready to be punched. I don't care. I want to take people to heaven with me. I want to take I stole this from him, okay, from Carl. I want to take a whole busload of people to heaven with me when I go. And that was his goal in life. And he's gone at 35, man. And there's also, guys, suicides on the rise. Can I just be real with you? Are you hearing more and more about this? All over the place, man. And it's not, it doesn't have a certain demographic of age. It's all across the board. Older people, middle-aged people, younger people are taking their lives left and right. It's because we don't know someone that can walk us through being criticized, being alone, having pressure, being broken, right? Being ashamed and being neglected. And Jesus empathizes with all of that. I told you last week, man, when you guys have gone to the doctor and you have that sheet that's there, right? And they always ask you all these questions like, have you had any suicidal thoughts? Are you dealing with depression? Have you ever thought that your family members would be better off without you? Guys, I'm an open book, man. I told you last week, I lie on all those. I just, nope, because I don't want to be poked and prodded and all that other stuff with some other follow-up questions, right? I've had those thoughts before. I've had those thoughts. And if we're honest, man, everybody in here probably has had those thoughts before, that your family might be better off without you. But you know what? When those thoughts try to take root in my mind, I think about the captain of my salvation. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't need some doctor or some shrink, right, who's really good at what they do, right, and very helpful for a lot of people. I'm not knocking that at all, right? Very helpful, very skilled. I don't need them trying to fulfill the place of Christ in my life. You know what I'm saying? And so I lean on someone who's been there and who knows all of this in a greater way than I do. And God's bigger, right, than any of these thoughts that come into my mind. And so, man, maybe I feel ashamed about things. And I shared something last week, man, that I am ashamed of, that I wish I would have handled. But there are things, man, in these last 7 years of ministry that I wish I'd have done better and done differently. I'm growing, man. You guys have helped me to grow. And there are things, man, that I am ashamed of, that I could have done better and I could have pursued people harder, right? But you know what? I'm growing and I'm giving that to Jesus. And He is meeting that inadequacy that I bring to the table, okay? And so I'm grateful for people's forgiveness and mercy and grace. Okay, so the word propitiation, let's talk about that, okay? Propitiation. Now that I've set the stage and have 10 minutes left. Guys, I'm pumped, man. I feel so good. It's been great the last couple weeks. Propitiation means to satisfy. Okay? Propitiation means to appease. Propitiation means to gain favor back. Now, why is that important? Because there's a huge gap between God and us, right? We've already talked about we don't meet the standard of angels. Angels are way better than us. And God, as the angels' creator, is infinitely greater than the angels. So how do we have a chance at living with God eternally in and of our own strength? We do not. We need propitiation. We need appeasement. We need satisfaction. We need to gain that favor back. But here's the thing. We cannot do that. You cannot wash any of these windows with a dirty rag. You are smearing it around. It might look clean for a minute, but when it dries, you got smears everywhere. And it looks even worse than what it did before. Right? So your attempts at cleaning make things worse. You know what I'm talking about, right? You cleaned your stove and it just smears the grease everywhere, right? You got to get some real grease cutter, right? Okay? We can't do it. The NIV translates the word propitiation as reconciliation. But it is reconciliation that is based upon someone's act, right? Somebody did something, right, to appease, okay? So, for instance, I want you to repeat after me, okay? In your relationships, this would be a fantastic, tool to use in your tool belt, right? In every relationship that you have, especially in marriage, okay? So repeat after me. I want everybody, married or not, okay, to repeat these words after me. Are you ready? We're going to do this? Are you with me? Who's with me?
Yep.
Huh?
Yep. Okay.
You ready?
Ready.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Man, it sounds good. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay. What can I do to make this right?
What can I do to make this right?
That's a great tool to put in your box. It's a great tool. Okay. Because it's going to be different for everybody else. Okay? It's different for you than it is for everybody else. It's different for me than it is for Kara, than it is for Kayla, than it is for Kent, than it is for Larry. Okay? What can I do to make this right? There's an act. I'm serious about reconciliation, and I'll do what it takes to get there. Right? For Kara, it might be doing the dishes or vacuuming the floors or folding the clothes or changing the diaper. Acts of service speak volumes to my wife. She's an acts of service. She's a go-getter girl, right? She's a hard worker. For me, I'm a physical touch guy. Hey, man, you scratch my back, the walls start to come down. You with me? And she knows this, right? She knows. So whenever we have, you know, our little spats or whatever, and we do every now and then, if she starts scratching my back, she knows that I'll be ready to talk soon. Okay? So learn people's language that they speak, right? For somebody else, it might be a gift, right? Who's read the five love languages? I've requested that you guys read that, man. It's a great book. Read that sucker. It is so good. It is so good. It helps you understand all kinds of relationships. But propitiation means this: something has been done to meet the need for reconciliation. Why is that important in Christian doctrine? Because propitiation is all about the cross. This was the requirement, right? It's not that Jesus had to apologize. It's that we lacked, right? But Jesus took that punishment and it became the propitiation for our sins, right? The propitiation, the satisfaction, the appeasement. And here's my favorite part of it, man, and it gets me so excited. I need you to understand this, okay? It's not just satisfaction and it's not just appeasement. It is regaining the favor of God in your life. Do you understand the difference between satisfaction and gaining the favor again? God looks at you not as a repentant sinner, guys, but as a son or a daughter who's in right standing with Him. And that is a huge difference, you guys. Is a huge difference. And that is the difference between Moses and Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3. Are you ready? Therefore, holy brethren, which I think is absolutely hysterical, because we just spent a whole chapter talking about how we are worse than angels, which are infinitely, you know, worse than God. And therefore, and then right at chapter 3, he calls us holy brethren. We're not holy, man. We're holy because of the propitiation of Jesus Christ. We've got the favor of God again. Are you guys not pumped about this, man? God is appeased. He's satisfied. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at me. I'm excited about that because in my mind, I can play games all like I messed up. And man, I really stink. Why am I a pastor? I'm a terrible Christian, right? We have the favor of God resting on our heads. We are a son or a daughter in right standing with Him. You know when your kids are at their best? Hey, mom, dad, can I help with that? It's overwhelming. You just bubble up, right? Or when they're talking nicely to each other every other month. Right? And you get that glimpse of how things could be, you know? It feels so good as a dad. And that's how God feels about you all the time. All the time. Not because of what you did or didn't do, because of the propitiation that Jesus accomplished. It's so important, guys, to know that. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. What's the theme of Hebrews? Jesus is, come on, better. Jesus is better. Say it with me. Jesus is better. Right? And so now we're going to talk about how Jesus is better than Moses. Hold up. Hold up. This is where you have to, you go in and you go out of the text. In, constantly going in, constantly going out. Zooming in, zooming out. Zooming in, zooming out. Who's the book of Hebrews written to? Jewish people. Why is that important? We're getting ready to talk about Jesus is better than Moses. Hello? Jesus is better than Moses? It would rock the socks off of every Jewish reader. What are you talking about? We put Jesus to death, man. Right? We neglected him. What are you talking about? He's the Messiah. He's better than Moses. What are you talking about? Okay, here we go. Right? Let's read a little bit more. He was faithful to him who appointed as Moses was faithful in all his house. So it sounds like the author of Hebrews is puffing Moses, right? Setting Moses up to be this grand person. Moses was faithful in all his house, right? He was this great guy. Verse 3, for this one has been considered counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Moses was awesome. But Jesus was counted as more glory than Moses, right? He was better. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. What is this person saying, this author of Hebrews saying? He's saying that Jesus is God. And Jesus is better, right? He's better because he's God. The one who built all things is God. Jesus is better than Moses because he built all things. Jesus is God. We can't neglect the deity of Jesus, guys. He is God in the flesh. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a what? Servant. For a testimony of those things would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a what? Son. So now what are we comparing? We're comparing slaves with sons. We're comparing servants with sons. Guys, what's the gap there? Right? Moses, Jesus. Servant, son. Right? Hold on now. Jesus came to meet our need, our lack. And what are we called? Are we called slaves? I'm not ashamed to call you slaves. Is that what he said? I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. Right? And if we're brethren, then we are? We're sons. We're daughters. Are we better than Moses? Man, see how Hebrews can get confusing? You see how that? I mean, like, are we better than Moses? Well, okay, so how many of you have freed a nation of people from 400 and some plus years of slavery? How many of you have given the law of God to your people? How many of you have, including myself in that you, okay? This is not just me throwing stuff out. How many of us, I should say, have given the beginning of Israeli customs and traditions, minus circumcision, because that was given to who? That was given to Abraham, okay? But Moses was given everything else, man. You got the feasts, you've got the offerings, you've got the tabernacle, you've got all these different things. You've got the burning bush, you've got the new year, which is the Passover. You've got the Red Sea and the deliverance from Pharaoh, right? All the plagues, calling down of a ton of plagues. You got water from the rock. Anybody ever done any of these things? Take a staff, hit a rock, see if water comes out. What about the radioactive glow face? Right? Anybody ever had such an intimate time with Jesus, man, that your face physically glowed? Oh! Right? Can you imagine Moses coming down? He's like one of those, it's like he drank a bunch of glow sticks. By the way, don't bust those open and squirt those in your eye. Okay? Burns. Go figure, right? One of ours had a glow stick in his bed last night, playing with it or whatever as everybody's going to sleep, busted it open, right? Glow stuff all over the pillow, all over the carpet, all over the bed, man. You turn it, hey, if you don't want to see it, just turn the lights on. It looks clean, right? Oh, man, I don't have to clean this up. Lights are on. Turn the lights off. Woo! There it is, all over the place. It looks like one of the minions barfed everywhere. Ah! There it is. And it got in his eye. Ah! You just hear the siren going off, man. And you know where it's coming from. Ugh. Anyway. Moses had that radioactive face. He had spent some great time with God, and he comes down. You know what he had to do? He had to put a bag over his head because people were freaking out. Like, what's wrong with your face, man? He had to hide the intimacy that he had with God. He was that close. He was that close, guys, to God. He was the mentor for Israel's greatest military leader, arguably. Okay? And who was that? It was Joshua. Right? Joshua was awesome. You want to know the reason? He was a foreshadow of the person of Jesus Christ. I want you at some point in your life do a parallel study of the book of Joshua with the book of Revelation. And just read chapter 1, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 4. Go through Joshua, go through Revelation at the same time. You'll love it. You'll love it. He judged thousands of cases and developed a court system much like we see today in the United States of America. Lower courts, medium-sized courts, higher courts. Okay? That was Moses. Okay? And not to mention the intimacy of his friendship with God, where the scriptures tell us that he would talk as if a man talks face-to-face with his friend. What a list of accomplishments. Moses was awesome. But Jesus is better, guys. And this author of Hebrews would have offended a ton of people, right? A ton of people. By saying that this one is counted as worthy of more glory than Moses. You revere Moses? You can forget about Moses, man, because we have Jesus Christ, right? And the difference is so far. Right? And here's what we're going to talk about next week. The reason why. The difference between. Okay? I wanted to talk about it this week, but time gets away from you. Right? Time flies when you're having fun. We're going to talk about the difference between a servant and a son. Okay? And here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to think about just in preparation for next week. Do you view yourself as a servant, a slave of God? He calls the shots. I've got to do what he says. Do you view yourself? It's all about perspective. Do you view yourself as his servant? He's God. I don't have a choice in the matter. I have to obey. Or do you view yourself as a highly favored son or daughter? And man, I want everybody to really spend some time each day thinking about that. Do you have to obey? Or do you love to obey? Are you with me? Because God is good, man. And His commands and His statutes are not burdensome. They are freeing. You find freedom in boundaries, guys. You find real freedom in boundaries. Oh, man, I'm free to do whatever I want, man. That's real freedom. But your life's a wreck, right? Full of shame and guilt because I'm calling the shots, man. I'm my own person. Life and freedom are found in boundaries. And God forbids things because they're bad. Right? They're not bad because they're forbidden. He knows they're bad for us, and so he forbids them. Yes? Playing in the street isn't necessarily bad. Right? Because I forbid it. Right? But I don't want my kids playing in the street because it is bad, right? Because I don't want to get smashed by some semi with a load of grain. You know what I mean? Hay, you know, or cattle, or turkeys. Don't get stuck behind the turkey truck. If you don't get anything out of the lesson today, don't get stuck behind a truck full of turkeys. It stinks. Well, bless you guys. Judy, would you close us out with the song?